This is all about our guys, the guys that we're rooting for, the guys that are making a name for themselves, and of course, whether or not the New Orleans Saints are in trouble with Jameis Winston's injury. We got all that coming up for you on today's episode of Locked On NFL.
You are Locked On NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, football fans? Welcome into another episode of Locked On NFL, and it is Tuesday with your daily podcast here covering the NFL, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much, as always, being Locked On NFL, your first listen of the day. Every day, we're free and available on all podcast apps and on YouTube as well. You've got myself, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson Nola, your daily host of Locked On Saints, joined today by David Harrison at D Harrison 82 of Locked On Bucks, Locked On Commanders. We appreciate you very much for being here with us. David, training camp is underway. The NFL is finally back. You're out at camps. I'm out at camps. It has been an absolutely fun time here over the past couple of weeks, and we get to real football. We had the Hall of Fame game, but let's face it. That wasn't good football.
No. That wasn't not unless your name is Jerome Walker.
That's right. In today's episode, we're gonna go over our guys that David Harrison and I are rooting for. So make sure you leave the guys that you're rooting for in the comment section if you're watching on YouTube, or you can go ahead and send them to us on Twitter as well at Locked On Network. Of course, you can always drop them in the chat if you're here watching live. Who are the guys that you're rooting for in 2022? We'll tell you ours. We'll also dive into some conversation around some training camp risers. But first, let's go with somebody that's very familiar to both David and I, Jameis Winston, New Orleans Saints quarterback, formerly Tampa Bay Buccaneers, number one overall selection, left practice early on Monday with an apparent foot injury. We'll get into the details of that injury here in a little bit, but just sort of off the cuff here, David, you know very well the toughness of Jameis Winston. I feel like if his foot isn't hanging off of his body, they're going to have to fight to keep him off the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jameis is a guy that, you know, through anything, it doesn't matter, you know, name calling, doubt, you know, discouragement, injury, struggle, like it doesn't matter. Like Jameis Winston is a guy, and unfortunately, and this is why, you know, people around the league who don't really know Jameis kind of laugh sometimes, but, you know, he's a guy who can go out there and throw three interceptions in a game, and the very next pass he throws, he's going to throw with confidence. And, and you know, that's, I mean, honestly, that's what you want in a quarterback a lot of times. And you look at some of the all-time greats, and everybody can slow down. I'm not saying Jameis Winston is an all-time great at this point in time, right? But like, when you look at some of the all-time greats, and I think Tom Brady is even one of those guys, you know, they have a little bit of either like sociopath or psychopath even. It's like some of them are psychopaths, right? And then some of them are a little sociopathic, where they either enjoy kind of the ups and downs, like Aaron Rodgers. Like I think Aaron Rodgers, like genuinely, when he throws an interception, he probably goes sideline. He's like, I wonder what kind of tweets are going out about that one. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like he just genuinely enjoys kind of the drama that comes with it. And then you have the sociopaths who like, they know it's bad and they know it's wrong. And they're just like, yeah, you know, moving on, we're good. But that's what you need.
The Brett Favre's of the world.
Yeah, the Brett Favre of the world, you know, just reload it, put another one in the chamber and go out there and hope that one hits the target. And so that's what you kind of need. But, you know, but that's kind of fight that Jameis brings, which is why no matter who the coach is, no matter who the roster turnover is, no matter the city, like people, they gravitate around Jameis. And it didn't take long from when he went from Tampa to New Orleans, even though, you know, Saints fans spent all those years trying to disparage him and hope that he loses 100%. All that stuff. But boom, as soon as he hits New Orleans, you see that fire, you see that passion, and Saints fans love him.
Yep, absolutely. So he apparently had the foot injury. It's kind of like a rolled ankle situation, later clarified as a foot injury from head coach Dennis Allen during 7-on-7s. But he didn't leave until after the first session of team drills. And David, you know that there's a lot. There's usually a good amount of time that takes place in between that. So like 7-on-7s happened, then the offense kind of went to the side, and then you saw maybe some special teams drills for a little while, and then they came out and ran 11-on-11s. I watched all of this happen. He was still out there for 11-on-11s, and then there was another special teams drill, and then the next time they come out for 11-on-11s when they were working red zone, I saw Andy Dalton under center, and I was like, uh-oh, Jameis isn't out there. And then so Andy Dalton kind of worked with first and second team, and then Ian Book took over for third team. And so whatever the injury was, it wasn't substantial enough that in the moment they were immediately like, okay, we got to get you out of here. Like, he played with it for a little while and everything, and then ended up going there. But just the value of a quality backup quarterback like Andy Dalton, not necessarily somebody you want to go into the regular season with, but in terms of training camp and trying to install the offense, this guy has installed six different offenses in each, you know, like an offense in each of the last six seasons. Like, he's learned a brand new offense every year. Isn't that nuts? And so pretty good situation for the Saints. How important is it to have that like experienced backup when you have this type of situation?
Yeah, it's critical, you know, and it's one of the reasons that, you know, again, you stay in the division, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers bring Blaine Gabbert back. A lot of people thought the Bucs, even when Tom Brady came back, maybe you just move Kyle Trask up the depth chart, let him be the backup for a season. But you bring a veteran back like that because of the experience, the stability, you know, and even you look at Jameis now as a veteran in the league. And, you know, hopefully, you know, obviously I don't know the entire extent of the conversation, but hopefully it was a little bit of like, yeah, you know, my foot hurts, but you know, I'm good here. You know, I'm on a 4 out of 10, you know, pain scale or whatever, however they do it in New Orleans. And he goes out there and he's like, yeah, you know, guys, this isn't right. And as much as I want to compete, I also am a veteran and I have some intelligence now about my career and the whole picture, having gone through what I've gone through, that I know it's more important right now in the beginning of week three of training camp that I go get treatment, not try to be a warrior and tough this out and, you know, maybe put on a different jersey and see if nobody notices type of thing.
Speaking of a different jersey. Speaking of a different jersey. Sorry, I just want to make this joke really quick. Sorry. Speaking of a different jersey, like, this all happens on the same day that Taysom Hill is wearing a non-contact red jersey and everything. So, like, Saints fans were freaking out, like, oh no, Taysom Hill's back at quarterback and everything. Like, he was just in a non-contact jersey, still playing tight end. He's come back from a rib injury. But just the timing of it was just critically funny.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't blame him, to be honest with you. Like, it's you know, like, as soon as Jameis leaves the field, I already saw some tweets wondering, like, is this where Taysom gets a chance to be the quarterback again? So the fact that he's in that jersey. But, you know, Andy, but going back to the intelligence thing of Andy Dalton, like, I think that, you know, from a Saints standpoint, and again, this is getting hyperbolic with things and kind of taking things to a level that they're not necessarily going to be at. But if this were a situation where Jameis is going to miss significant time, you go back to Eli Manning's foot injury, you know, during a portion of his career where he kind of tried to go through and tough it out and it ended up doing a lot more damage. He ended up missing more time because of trying to tough it out than he would have had he just gone and then gone into recovery initially. You know, if the Saints, like right now, I view the Saints as a team that are going to be a competitive team in the NFC, potentially compete for the NFC South division. And I don't think a lot of people see them as that. But if you take Jameis Winston off the field, it's not even so much what Andy Dalton's limitations are, but you know, you talk about the installs. I mean, I don't think it matters how many times you've installed an offense. I think, period, your first year of installing an offense is going to be tough. It's going to be a rough season. There's going to be a lot of pitfalls and growing pains, and Andy Dalton is not going to be immune to that. So Jameis, not just with his physical abilities, which I do think at this point are definitely greater than Andy's, but also because he's not going through a complete fresh install of this offense. Like, there's a big drop-off, and I think if the team were to have to go with Andy for a significant period of time over Jameis, my opinion of them as a holistic franchise, your roster just for the season, kind of comes back down to where a lot of other people are talking to them. Whereas with Jameis, you know, I think I have a bigger view of them, and that's just how critical, you know, the offense. We did that campaign not too long ago about the biggest movers and shakers with betting lines. That is another example of how critical that quarterback position is.
Yeah. If the Saints have to go with Andy Dalton for, let's just say the Saints, not even say that they had to because of injury, because, you know, you only want to put so much juju out in the air here, but like, let's just say Jameis Winston wasn't even on the team. All of a sudden you're talking about like an 8-9, 9-8 team led by Andy Dalton. Like, as much confidence as you have in the rest of the roster, like, you're just not going to get the same type of play, high level, high ceiling play from Andy Dalton that you're going to get. Like, every single, like, I'm watching these guys throw passes every single day. Andy Dalton's passes look the exact same every single time. There's no extra gear. There's no ceiling. There's no deep ball, all of that stuff like you're seeing from Jameis. The thing that is nice for the Saints is that if it's only a short term, and if they say, hey, take it easy for the rest of the week, Jameis, which would make sense because he's not, it's not like he's going to play in the regular. I mean, he's not going to play in the preseason game because he was in Texans anyway and everything. So like, you're just saying, okay, well, let Andy and Ian go out there and do it because they got to play this weekend. Then the other players around don't see as much of a drop off in terms of the system that they're running, right? Does he execute it at the same level and with the same fervor as a, you know, at the same ceiling as a Jameis Winston? No. But can he run it cleanly, get you in and out of the huddle, keep you in rhythm? Yes. So that's the that's where I think you have an advantage with Andy Dalton. But if you get into the regular season,
something to be worried about. And you know, if Andy gets to go out there though and he puts together a good preseason opener and does some good things, and his stock might start rising with some Saints fans who maybe don't believe in Jameis Winston as much. And of course, there are other players in other training camps that are also seeing their stock rise due to their early performances here before they get to their first games. So we're going to talk about that here in a minute. We're also going to talk about another product that should be rising in your snack cabinet rankings, and that is, of course, the Built Bar Puffs from our friends at Built.com. Because if you haven't tried the Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of something that's pretty amazing. I'm a big fan of the Built Bar Puffs, and every time a new flavor comes out, it's almost like they up their game. And this time, they didn't up their game in a literal sense, but they did up the level of treatness, because now you have your Built Bar, which is delicious, but you also have cookie dough chunks on top of the bar. And those, with the rest of the bar, are enveloped in 100% real chocolate. So it's amazing. It's all the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it, which I actually have a Twitter person that I interact with who makes their own cookie dough still, which, so shout out to them, because I think that's a fleeting skill. But this cookie dough, you don't have to make it. It's still delicious and it's healthy for you. What's great about Built is that all their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently. So it's delicious and it brings you health benefits. So you can eat something that tastes good and is good for you. Ditch the calories, the fat, and the sugar. Grab yourself a Built Bar. Go to Built.com, grab that box of Built Puffs or your favorite Built Bar for you, the family, the friends. And when you do, use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off that order. Again, that promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com.
All right, everybody, we are continuing on with another episode of Locked On NFL. It is Tuesday. You got myself, Ross Jackson, David Harrison. We are here, usually division bitter rivals, but not bitter. Really. We're really good friends, actually. We actually like each other a lot. So here we are, bringing you some NFL news coming out the NFC South. But now we're going beyond the NFC South here and looking at some of the players that are really making a name for themselves and taking a big step forward in terms of camp risers. David, when I say camp riser, training camp riser, guy that's really just, that stock is skyrocketing, there's really great things coming out about him, who is somebody that comes to mind for you?
Yeah, so my first name actually is going to be in the NFC South, so I apologize for everybody who's sick of the NFC South talk. But you know what? It's also going to be out of the Pac-12 and the Pacific Northwest. Washington Husky tight end Cade Otton. He's a guy you know, I mean, honestly, the fact that his draft stock slid as much as it did, completely to do with his injury that he suffered in mid-November, the ankle injury that ended his collegiate career effectively. But, you know, the Buccaneers kind of, especially under Jason Light, they kind of have this trend of using some of those mid to early late round draft picks on guys that maybe have an injury issue. But you know what? If that injury heals the way that you want it to heal, and with the advances in modern medicine and recovery time, especially if we can let them be a depth player, they kind of capitalize on that. And you go back and you look at a player like Kendall Beckwith, linebacker out of LSU, and, you know, his career didn't end up going the way you wanted to, but not because of his football injury. It was an off the field injury that unfortunately did him in eventually. But in the between time when he was actually able to heal, get on the field, you saw a whole lot of burst and talent. Well, now Cade Otton is on the field, cleared for training camp, and he is doing wonders. On Sunday alone, had 3 touchdown catches for his quarterbacks, caught some from Tom Brady, caught from Blaine Gabbert, was targeted very often by Kyle Trask. So all of these quarterbacks in the Buccaneers system, they know that when Cade Otton is on the field, that he is a guy that they can trust, and they're looking to use him. Cam Brate, I still think he's that tight end number one, but honestly, right now, and you look at Kyle Rudolph coming in, the veteran, and you know, Cade Otton has a little bit of a head start on the install and learning the playbook and all that stuff, but not really that much. But still, when they're both on the field, I got to give the advantage to Cade Otton. So I wonder if by the end of training camp, we might see Cade Otton becoming the tight end number two in Tampa. And then Ross, by week 4 or 5, we might see Cade Otton become the top guy.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah. Oh, that would be a really nice one. All right. I will see your Pacific Northwesterner or Pac-12er. And I will raise you, not raise you, but I will match with another Pac-12er. So, you know what? I am going to raise you because you're going to like who this is. I'm going to go with former I guess you're forever an Arizona State Sun Devil, aren't you? You're forever.
Absolutely. Once a Sun Devil, always a Sun Devil.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with, I'm going to say our guy, Brandon Ayuk, out of, of course, from San Diego State. I mean, sorry, San Diego State. Look at me screwing that up. Arizona State. My apologies. The Aztecs. How did I get that wrong? but doing some great work over in San Francisco. You know, there's a big quarterback change there right now. That's, and he's kind of helping to erase all that. There was a lot of like Debo Samuel conversation and confusion over the course of the offseason. But the thing I really loved was kind of San Francisco 49ers kind of played it like, yeah, well, we got Brandon Ayuk. Like, we'll be okay, which is certainly how I would be too. I love this guy's versatility, the way he's able to line up all over the offense, the fact that you could put him in the backfield if you wanted to and have him run some plays out of there if you needed him to, like Kadarius Toney-ish, which was somebody I was going to talk about on this episode earlier, but I moved him off because I want to talk about Brandon Ayuk that much. And then you also have sort of his run after catch ability. And what a great weapon to have while you're moving into and changing your quarterback era, you know, as you go into sort of the Trey Lance era. And you've got George Kittle, which a tight end is always a young quarterback's best friend, as are the running backs coming out of the backfield. You know that you have that system already in San Francisco, but now you have this dynamic pair of wide receivers. And Brandon Ayuk is somebody that I think continues to show that he deserves and belongs here in the NFL as a star. And I think he's getting closer and closer to that. And I think Trey Lance can actually help him get to that level with that play style, which is kind of collegiate still, right? Still a little backyard football in a way in terms of what he's able to do. And I think Brandon Ayuk can complement that pretty well. Now, David, I know we picked three, so let's do our next two. Let's do our final two, like in a pair here. Who are your next two, and then just kind of elaborate on both of those.
Yeah, so my next two, I'm going to go first with wide receiver out of the Washington Commanders program, and honestly, it's kind of to dispel some concerns here. I'm talking about Curtis Samuel, a guy that was brought in last year to really be the kind of Swiss Army knife. A lot of people call him Debo Samuel-ish, even though Curtis Samuel has been doing it longer. So I think maybe Curtis Samuel.
It's just the Samuel. It's the Samuel way.
Yeah, it's in there somewhere. But Curtis Samuel this season, you know, a lot of people, especially you fantasy football enthusiasts, which I know there's a lot out there, probably shine away from him because he's missing a lot of practices and he's not out there very often. But I'll tell you, head coach Ron Rivera has told us time after time, listen, this part of the program, this part of the plan with him, and it's to get him back to fully football condition. He didn't play football for a very long time, but also to make sure he's ready for the regular season. And I will be honest, I was in the boat of, well, I'm a little concerned of the legitimacy of this, what we're talking about here, until I saw him on the practice field. Like, he missed like 4 days of practice, first 2 days in pads, and you're kind of sitting like, oh, I don't know, man, this doesn't seem right. And then you see him on the field, and he's electric, and he is unlocking a lot of things for that offense. And then he misses two more days of practice, and then he goes out there at FedEx Field, and he's electric again. So I am now a believer in what the Washington Commanders are doing when they say that there is a program in place. We're going to ramp him up. We're going to bring him back. We're going to ramp him up. You're basically going to see this all preseason. We'll see him one day. You won't see him for another, or maybe even two. Then you'll see him again. And that's what they're doing. And you know what? If it works, it keeps him healthy. It looks good. So if you're thinking about spending a late round flyer on Curtis Samuel because of all the doubts of practice, trust me, he's a guy that if this plan works, he's going to produce on the football field. And then my last guy, Ross, is Justin Evans, former Buccaneer, now in New Orleans Saints safety. Listen, I love the kid. You know what I mean? My heart broke for him when he got the injury and he kind of kept suffering the setbacks. Super talented guy. And eventually the franchise kind of had to move on and kind of had to let him do his thing. Was completely surprised to find out he was coming back to the game, coming back to a training camp. Every time I see a Justin Evans tweet about him balling out in the New Orleans Saints training camp, I am super happy and just incredibly excited for him because I know what he's been through to a certain extent, and I can only imagine how hard he's worked to get back to where he is now.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. He's a lot of fun to watch, and it's cool to see number 30 out there getting work in. Here is Real Fan Sports saying fantasy steal the draft when it comes to when it comes to your guy. It's possible. I'll tell you another fantasy steal of everyone's draft: running back Damian Pierce. That's my next guy, straight up out of Florida Gators. I had him as one of my favorite running backs, if not my absolute favorite running back coming out of this draft. I love running backs that can pass protect, but that can also produce extremely well, and Damian Pierce was probably I'll say maybe the second best pass protector at running back going into this class. The best one being the back out of Notre Dame. But I just love what he's doing. And he's going to get a lot of opportunity in Houston because there's not really anybody in his way anymore. He's kind of becoming like their steal of the draft. Everyone thought it was going to be Jalen Petre, who I thought was awesome coming out of Baylor. Don't get me wrong. Like, I actually agreed with that. But Damian Pierce is kind of coming off as the steal of their draft so far. And he is really, really come on strong. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he's able to do. We'll get a quick look. I'll get a close look at him on Saturday as the Saints will open up their preseason action up against the Houston Texans. So I'm looking forward to seeing Damian Pierce there. And my last guy is a guy that's been in the NFL for a little while and hasn't necessarily been the player that we thought he was going to be, but it hasn't entirely been his fault. It's kind of been the way that he's been utilized. And that's over with the Arizona Cardinals, Isaiah Simmons. Isaiah Simmons is somebody who was, you mentioned electric when it came to Curtis Samuel. Absolutely electrifying Isaiah Simmons in college, watching him at Clemson. Like, we just thought he was going to be just outstanding in the NFL. And I still think that he can be, but the sort of approach that Arizona has taken with him to kind of use him as a traditional either middle or weak side linebacker has kind of been lost on him quite a bit. And so I think them now sort of creating this per their staff writer, this kind of star position, Darren Urban, this kind of star position for him, which we see in college a lot. Florida Gators use it all the time. If anybody is trying to think about, like, I know I do a New Orleans Saints show, so we'll get a lot of New Orleans Saints people that will hear this or watch this. If you think about the way that CJ Gardner-Johnson is used, that's kind of the star safety, right? The star position. And then now you're asking like this guy to do that, who's a little bit of that linebacker safety hybrid. So you're asking him to be a linebacker, a safety, a nickel corner, a dime back. Like, you're just asking for all these things. So he's going to rush the passer. Yeah. He's going to be a coverage guy. He's going to cover tight ends, but he's also going to cover slot defenders. He's going to be there for you in run support. Isaiah Simmons' skill set in that role, that's awesome. So I love seeing that they made that new role for him. And I think that that puts him in a position to where throughout training camp, we've gotten to see a lot more from him.
Yeah, absolutely. You always love when you see a guy who's got a lot of tools and you see coaches that are actually trying to make those tools work for their system versus trying to make their system and then tell the guy, well, either fit in our system or you're going to go find a new job. So I always love when that kind of thing happened. And obviously, we're rooting for some of these guys. I'm rooting for Justin Evans. I mean, Saints or no Saints, you know, obviously I want the Bucs to win just because it makes my show better. It makes my fan base a little bit happier. But Justin Evans, a guy that I'm rooting for as well. We got some other guys that we're rooting for this season coming up for different reasons that we're going to talk about in a minute. But first, we got to get real a little bit. And unfortunately, some of these camp risers, their lives are going to get real too here in a little bit too. Some of these guys are going to come down to earth probably. But Ross, I don't know if you've been there a lot. I've been there before. I know my co-host James Jarko has been there. My other co-host Chris Russell has been there. Sometimes the pocket gets a little bit tight. The bank account gets a little bit lower than you like, and then there's an event that comes up and you want to be a part of that social circle. You want to definitely make sure you maintain your standing, so you want to kind of show up big for that. Sometimes a bill comes due, and sometimes a surprise bill comes due, or gas prices go up and you're kind of wondering how you're going to make it to work to try to balance out your checkbook. That's where companies like Dave can help. If you're living a paycheck to paycheck or you're struggling to make ends meet, it can be really stressful, especially when those unexpected expenses come up. Well, now Dave can help you get out of a pinch when you really need it. What if you could talk to your future self and say, man, we could really use a break? Well, you could get that break in the form of cash from your future self with a little bit of extra cash from Dave, the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. That's more money to fill your tank, catch up on those bills, or whatever you need that cash for. Best part is there's no interest and there's no credit check. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get that financial help and relief that they need with extra cash. So if you're in a pinch or you just need some extra help, download Dave and think of it as a helping hand from future you. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC. Future you will thank you.
All right, everybody, wrapping up this episode of Locked On NFL. Thank you very much for making Locked On NFL your first listen of the day. Your daily podcast keeping you up with everything going on in the National Football League. It's training camp, preseason week one, all of that. We talked about the guys and kind of elaborated a little bit on the guys that are gonna that have been kind of soaring, rising their stock. But every now and then we have those guys that we're just simply rooting for. So I don't really care how they're performing in camp. I don't really care how other people feel about them. I just want these guys to succeed. David and I both picked one. David, I feel like yours is going to be a little bit more of a conversation. So perhaps. let me start off with mine, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I will jump into yours because this one might go quick, but I'm rooting for Davis Mills, Houston Texans quarterback. I get to see him next week. This coming weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. But this guy has been just like doing his job ever since he came into the NFL. There was all of this controversy, all this conversation around the quarterbacks in his class. He was often left out of that, often the butt of the joke in that class. Like when you heard that your favorite team was interested in Davis Mills and thought that Davis Mills might be the most pro-ready quarterback in that class, people were cracking jokes about him, all this other stuff. And this guy just got drafted. Went and did his job, has been doing nothing but doing his job, hasn't been saying anything, hasn't been talking any, just kind of just keeping to himself. And David, if there's anybody that has some freedom to say whatever it is that they want, it has been the Houston Texans backup quarterback for the past couple of years. That guy has had all the freedom in the world that he's wanted to say whatever. And so, or not the past couple of years, but you know what I mean. So, now coming into this year, all the distractions are out of the way. The Houston Texans all of a sudden have this really exciting future. They've got Dameon Pierce. They've got Davis Mills. They re-signed Brandon Cooks. You've got, you know, your other big pieces there like Laremy Tunsil. You've got all this draft capital. And now Davis Mills kind of just gets an opportunity here. Oh, you've got Nico Collins, who's also shooting up as well. And then now you have Davis Mills, who has a defense that is getting better. That's young, but that is getting better. An offense that's young but has some pieces that he can make a case for himself to say, hey, this is my team. Let this team grow with me. Let me be the one that brings this sort of new era of the Houston Texans into focus for this organization. And as this organization escapes everything that they just escaped. And what a great place for Davis Mills to be in and a potentially great place for Houston Texans fans to be in. I am rooting for Davis Mills.
Yeah. And it's good that there's somebody from the outside that is, because honestly, there's a lot of people outside of Houston, outside the Houston Texans that kind of look at it. And I know there's the conspiracy theory, if it was what, that's what we want to call it. More on conspiracy theories here in a minute, but that really they just kind of looked at the quarterback class and they were like, not really blown away. So you know what? We'll let Davis go out there. If we get a high draft pick, we'll get a guy next year. But I talked to somebody who was working in the Houston Texans organization last season, and I told them, I'm one of those people. I'm not a conspiracy theory person, but I don't see it in Davis Mills. I just honestly don't see it. And I said, am I missing something? And then is the love in Houston for him real? And I'll paraphrase, but that person told me, yes, I'm wrong. That there is something I should see in Davis Mills that I'm missing. And yes, the love in Houston is real. Like that's not a facade. That's not fake. That's not setting up for draft picks. That they love Davis Mills and they think he could turn into something real. My concern is whether or not Lovie Smith is going to have the patience to let him develop into something. But you're right. There are some weapons there. You know what I mean? Dameon Pierce, Nico Collins. You know, look, if I'm praising a Michigan guy, you know that I like. You remember from the Senior Bowl, like I really love Nico Collins. And Nico Collins was out there mossing guys left and right in the Senior Bowl. I can't wait to see him start doing that in the NFL. So, hopefully this is a big year for him. So I love that you're giving him some outside love, because there's too many guys like me who are giving him a lot of outside doubt. And even though I've been set straight by someone who is within the organization, I'm still going to cling as stubbornly as I can to my doubt until he proves me wrong. Not that he cares. He's sitting in his house as a starting quarterback in the National Football League, not wondering what David Harrison thinks of.
He's all good.
But Ross, you know, we've got a theme here, because we're both rooting for quarterbacks, and we're both rooting for quarterbacks that have some outside doubt. And somehow my guy still has outside doubt, even though he's a quarterback who's also a league MVP. And I'm talking about Lamar Jackson.
Great pick.
And this is where we're going to get into my conspiracy theory. The Baltimore Ravens essentially did everything in their power over the last couple of years to put everything on Lamar Jackson's shoulder. Now, they didn't injure J.K. Dobbins, right? They didn't injure pretty much every other running back that came behind them either.
Who passed his physical today, by the way?
Absolutely. And, you know, again, back to my Ohio State roots. Absolutely love that for J.K. But listen, Lamar Jackson does have his limitations, right? Show me a quarterback that doesn't. Every quarterback right. has some limitations, and he needs some guys out there, some dudes out there, right? Every Aaron Rodgers needs a Devontae Adams. Patrick Mahomes mm-hmm. needs a Travis Kelce or a Tyreek Hill. Like, none of these guys do this alone. Lamar Jackson has Rashad Bateman, which potential, got it, but it's potential still. Devin Duvernay, James Prochet, Benjamin Victor, who, again, going back to the Ohio State roots,
right.
as much as if I'm going to criticize a Michigan guy, you know it's real. If I'm going to hate on an Ohio State guy, you know it's real. Benjamin Victor a good fourth or fifth wide receiver for an NFL roster. And I don't think it's a coincidence that this is coming in the year that his contract is coming due. Mm. And if Lamar Jackson and this Baltimore Ravens offense struggles a little bit, we know what the narrative is going to be. It's all going to be on Lamar, because that's what it's been since before he came out of Louisville. It's always going to be on Lamar, and whether or not he can truly be a consistently great quarterback in the National Football League. We're going to find out how great Aaron Rodgers is this year with guys that I love, right? Christian Watson. I love Romeo Doubs. Like, I love all mm-hmm. these guys. They're rookies. We're going to find out how great Aaron is, because those two rookies look like veterans. Okay. And when we'll see if Odell Beckham joins the party too. But if Aaron has to roll through with that staff and he's getting paid what he's getting paid, and if I'm Lamar Jackson's agent, I'm going, hey guys, look at the two-time MVP. They took away, well, they didn't take away. They didn't really have a choice. But his best weapon left. They didn't really bring in any true, quote-unquote, replacements. Look what happened to him. Like, the best thing for Lamar Jackson, honestly, is Aaron Rodgers struggling without Devontae and a true number one. But you just kind of hate to see that. To me, it looks like an organization that is basically setting this up to be able to lowball him going into his next contract.
Mm.
And that's my conspiracy theory. I will admit to that.
I like the conspiracy theory. I hate it for Lamar Jackson if it's true. Right. But I'll tell you what, can you imagine the absolute bloodbath that would take place if Lamar Jackson was available in free agency next offseason?
I mean, look, Commanders fans have already been talking about it. Like, just grab a U-Haul. You will have 100,000 burgundy and gold clad movers at your house to move you down the street.
Like, consider the amount of teams that were willing to put it all on the line for Deshaun Watson, who still yep. might not even play this season.
Right.
He will certainly miss six games, but might not even play this season. And think about wholesome Lamar Jackson hitting the open market.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's what in Baltimore might be teeing that up. That would just be insane.
Yep.
That would just be insane.
Davis Mills to Baltimore with draft picks. Lamar Jackson to Houston.
Could you imagine? Like, that is the 2023 that the Houston Texans fan base deserves. That's what that is.
That's absolutely
what that is. That's really interesting stuff. No, I love it. I love it. I too am rooting for Lamar Jackson. There's a lot of people who say, well, you have to show me that you can throw the ball. Why? First of all, he has. Secondly, he's done this before. Right. But secondly, like, why limit what he's good at? Like, why do that? Like, it doesn't make any sense, right? Like, that would have been like sitting back and telling Michael Vick in his prime as the Atlanta Falcons quarterback, you're not allowed to run anymore. I need you to throw these passes before he became the prolific passer that he became in Philadelphia because his tools were limited as he aged, right? Right. So
Yeah, some people are like, we just talked about Isaiah Simmons, and there are some people who are going to praise the Cardinals for doing what they're doing with Isaiah Simmons and then criticize Lamar Jackson for needing to be schemed into Mac. Like, come on, man. Come on.
Great point. All right. Yeah. Well, those are the guys they were rooting for. David Harrison, as always, buddy, I'm rooting for you. Everybody I'm listening. For you too.
Although you're winning day in and day out. So I don't know if you need me. I need to focus my rooting on like Brandon Olsen, whose top Florida Gator prospect is struggling in Bucks camp right now.
Oh, make sure you go and support our guy over at Locked On Gators. He's going through it right now. You want to go ahead and check out, of course, your favorite Locked On NFL podcast, your favorite Locked On College podcast. NFL training camps are back in. Spring camp is back in for college football. it is a fantastic time here across the Locked On Podcast Network. So make that your first listen or your second listen of the day. Thank you for making us your first listen of the day. Don't forget that we'll be back with you tomorrow. Tony Wiggins and James Rapine getting you all set up for everything you need to know from around the NFL. David, always a pleasure, buddy. You can follow David and all of his fantastic work at dharrison82. You can follow me and all of my subpar work at Ross Jackson NOLA, NOLA. We appreciate you so much for making us a part of your day, and we will see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Locked On NFL, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.